You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us. And we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the Game Plan Podcast, Coach's Corner. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can the folks find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. Again, that's _Kennedy, as in the former wrestler, Mr. Kennedy Miller, as in the NBA Hall of Famer, Reggie Miller, _KennedyMiller_.
All right. All right. For the fan favorite, Coach Troy, how you doing over there?
What's up, my young brothers? How y'all doing?
Man, we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. Coach Troy, because we know you don't know your Twitter information. Kennedy Miller, where can the folks find TC on Twitter?
You can find TC on Twitter at _CoachTC_. Again, that's _CoachTC_.
All right. All right. Let's get into the basketball. The Warriors are up 3-0 on the Dallas Mavericks. Coach Troy, what has Golden State done to slow down Luka Doncic or keep the Mavs role players in check?
I think that's exactly, you just said it, man. I think that's exactly what they've done. They mix up the defenses a lot. So you do see a lot of different defenses. They throw a lot of different looks at Luka. And they're just making Luka's, either you're going to be a scorer or you're going to be a passer, but you're not going to do both. They're just playing smart defense. Then a guy like Wiggins, who's a really actually underrated defender to me, he's long and he can stay right in front of him. Luka just can't bully him around, if you notice. So I think they're doing a number of things to mix him up and mix the team up, mix Dallas up. Because I believe Jason Kidd is actually he's doing a great job of changing up his matchups when he gets in trouble. But Golden State getting problems because those role players are not able to come through like they were in the other two series. I think they played against a team like Memphis, who's not that bright of a team as we all saw. And you know that to me, to make it look bad, along with the Clippers, these guys just don't play too bright. But Golden State play real smart basketball. And I think that's what they're having issues with.
I agree with both of you guys. You know they're giving them different looks and a 1-2-2 zone, and then they in a box and one zone, just guarding Luka. And you know, like Coach Troy said, either you're gonna be a scorer, or you're gonna let other people get involved. And I believe their record is 0-3 this playoffs when Luka has scored 40 or more. So he scored 40 in back-to-back games, and they've lost. You've also seen that the Mavericks are getting wide open looks, like their role players are. They're just not knocking them down, and that's the difference between them being Phoenix and then them, you know, about to be swept by Golden State if all holds up tonight. But, you know, against Phoenix, you got guys like Maxi Kleber and Reggie Bullock looking like world beaters, and they're shooting the lights out. And now, you know, Reggie Bullock last game goes 0-10, 0-7 from three. And Maxi Kleber looks like he's afraid to shoot the ball. I think that maybe the pressure is wearing on them, or honestly, I don't think that they were great shooters to begin with. They get open looks because, you know, they're playing with a good player. But, you know, when I think of elite shooters in the league, I don't think that Dallas has any. And so I think they're kind of averaging out. Golden State has a lot of active bodies. You know, it starts with Wiggins, but they're showing Luka a lot of bodies. And if you look at, you know, the tape from the Phoenix series, Luka scored his most points when guarded by DeAndre Ayton, because that's who they were hunting out. And Phoenix, I don't think, did a good job of mixing it up. You know, DeAndre Ayton just kind of dropped off the ball screens and let, you know, guys just get the shots that they wanted. And when they did trap, I think that Jason Kidd did a really good job of having it maneuvered to where it's a ball reversal and then it's a screen for a shooter wide open in the corner. But against Golden State, with so many of the same size guys, it's really tough to find that switch, especially in those zones, and get a rhythm going. And so I think that's where Dallas is struggling.
Hey, can I chime in on that?
Go ahead.
The offensive rebound. Well, Golden State do a really good job of blocking out. They're small. Like Memphis led the lead. They led the lead in rebounding this year, right? But look what Golden State did to them. And I think, now this leads to me to my next point, is that the reason why I think those guys, Bullock and the other guys, Coach Ken was naming, they were getting a lot of second chance threes. They're better at that. You know, that first three is that the percentages are very low with most of these guys. These guys don't shoot very well. When you get that second opportunity, that offensive rebound and get that second opportunity, that's when they get those open threes and those in the corners and stuff like that. And they knock them down a lot with those second opportunities, those third opportunities. So they get a lot more chances to do it. And I think they're more comfortable and they're more convenient because they're more open. Because guys are going at the rebound, so that leaves guys in the corners what? Open all the time. Then you get guys stunting. Sometimes they're going a little too deep. And I think that they're not doing that. Golden State, when they switch with Kevon Looney, think about this. They switch with Kevon Looney. Kevon Looney is guarding Luka by himself. They're not doing all the helping like that. Because think about it. Luka, he's not that fast. He can't blow by Kevon Looney. He get by him, but he's not blowing by him. And Kevon Looney is good enough to what? Recover. By the way, Milwaukee, shout out to Milwaukee. Kevon Looney, do your thing, baby. Yeah.
I'll say this. I think, Ken, you know me. I've been saying this for years. One of the big problems I have with a lot of coaches in the playoffs is that they do not adjust, right? The Mike D'Antoni syndrome. If plan A ain't working, you go to plan B. The problem is plan B is just more of plan A. The issue with the way that the Mavericks play, you got Luka at the top. We're going to go for a screen and try to get either a slow big or a smaller guard on him and then go from there. Either Luka gets to the basket, gets fouled, gets a layup, or he kicks it out. If those shooters aren't making shots, then what do you do? And the issue is there's no adjustment there. Because do any of us trust Reggie Bullock or Davis Bertans or Maxi Kleber or Dorian Finney-Smith to put the ball on the floor? Right?
Hell no.
So with the way this roster has now been constructed, they have no choice but to continue to do that because the rest of those guys, with the exception of Brunson and Dinwiddie, the rest of those guys cannot create off the dribble. Right? So if you have a bunch of guys who are one-trick ponies, if they really can't do that one trick on the offensive end of the floor, then, you know, at a certain point, they become a detriment. It kind of reminds me of, do you remember those early Cleveland LeBron teams? LeBron in that first run in Cleveland. And they had a whole lot of guys who just one guy might just shoot threes, right? They had a whole lot of guys like that. And if they weren't making threes, like, why are they on the court?
Yep.
Dallas has guys like that on offense. And I think broadly, my second thought is, the way Dallas plays and the way Luka plays, it long-term won't lead to a championship. Long-term, that this style of play doesn't get you deep in the playoffs year in and year out. Like, if we think about high-usage, high-volume guards, or high-usage, high-volume players generally, how often have they made it out of the second round and deep into the playoffs? A guy like Carmelo Anthony only made it out of the second round once. Allen Iverson only made it out of the second round once. Damian Lillard has only made it out of the second round once. James Harden has only made it out of the second round twice.
That's true.
So that's true. When you're playing like this, it's fun, but by and large, this peaks in round two. You know what I mean? And I don't mean this as disrespect to Luka Doncic, but realistically, given how long Luka's been playing professional basketball, how much better is he going to get? And I'm not saying he can't get better, but I'm saying he is so polished and so advanced at his age, how much farther is there for him to go? You know, this isn't like a Kawhi Leonard coming into the league where it's obvious, all right, this guy can improve a whole hell of a lot on the offensive end, right? This is a guy who came into the league at what he felt like a finished product day one or close to it. So how much, you know, further is there for him to go? And if there isn't any further for him to go, how much better of a team can you put around him given the fact that it's difficult to attract a co-star for a guy who's a high-usage, high-volume player?
Well, I think, you know, you made some really good points. Number one, I do think, you know, he's kind of at his ceiling as far as talent goes and how good he can be. I think if you, you know, wanted to say, you know, well, what can he get better at? Because, you know, it's not like he's going to get more athletic. You know, that is what it is what it is. And I don't think he'll ever be a great defender, but he's an average free throw shooter. You know, as the numbers say, he's an average 3-point shooter. And so he can improve in those percentages. But I think, you know, when you think about the long term outlook of this team, I think it's all about, you know, just roster construction and how do you construct this roster? Like I said, we came to the agreement, Reggie Bullock, Maxi Kleber, Jalen Brunson, even though he's had a pretty good playoffs. Those guys aren't it. Like, I don't think anybody thought that this team would be one of the final four teams, you know, at the start of the season, just looking at their roster, and especially after they traded Porzingis as well. because they didn't have a roster constructed to do that. And I think the one of the reasons why they look like, you know, world beaters, especially in that game seven when they just blew Phoenix out the water, is because they didn't just have Luka cooking. Like, they had Luka, Brunson, and Dinwiddie that was just, you know, they were just basically taking turns with the Suns and getting every mismatch they wanted and going to work. And I think, you know, when you're trying to find talent around this guy, if you're going to get specialists, you got to get guys that are elite specialists at what they do. You know what I mean? Like, those guys are pretty average three-point shooters. Now, if you were to get a guy, and I'm not saying they could get him or, you know, he's even what he used to be, but like an elite spot-up shooter like Klay Thompson next to Luka, then you're talking about a different, you know, then you're talking about a different story. And you also need a guy who I'm pretty sure Jalen Brunson is in this role now, but you need a second creator. If you got to get, you're going to have a ball dominant guy, you got to get specialists, and you got to get another creator to take the load off when he's sitting down or taking a break. But, you know, this roster right now, you're going to have to do a lot of maneuvering to figure out how you're going to optimize, I guess, the talents of Luka.
So if you think about it, though, I mean, you know, like you, the question is, can he get any better? Okay, that's a good question. Honestly, he's reached his ceiling as far as offensively. Problem is, it's defensively. I don't care. Listen, man, I don't give a damn how good these guys are offensively. This is what the problem is to me with the league. A lot of these young guys, they don't look at stopping nobody on the other end of the court. That's why a lot of these guys you name, think about the guys you name. Damian Leonard, horrible defender. James Harden, horrible defender. Luka, horrible defender. Just keep going. Long, list goes on. Think about this. You really can put Steph Curry in that mix. Horrible defenders. Difference is Steph Curry is more like a Larry Bird. He's not a great defender as a one-on-one person, but guess what he does well? He's a good defender. Thank you. And this is what the problem I have with Luka. If I was playing with Luka, I would slap his ass to sleep because I'm serious. I'm a baller. I'm a killer. So if I'm a baller, how can I sit up here and let this guy, he pretty much take majority of the shots. He hogs up the ball majority of the time and you don't play defense? Come on, bro. Where do they do that at? I said, this new school ball, I'm telling you, I'm not saying that I don't like none of it because some of it, brothers getting their money, I love it. But some of this stuff is kind of whack, man. It's kind of tough to even watch. Me as a ball player watching that, I'm like, what the man? I mean, it's tough to watch that. Excuse my language, man, but I'm sorry. It's just tough to watch that, man. It is. And again, this ain't no knock on Luka because there's a lot of guys doing that these days. And it's in the game today. A lot of these guys are not playing defense. They're not even held accountable for playing defense. Think about that for a minute. And Kennedy, you know this. I'd be on LeBron ass about not playing D in his later stage in his career. Because you know LeBron's a great defender when he was younger.
Absolutely.
Now he don't play defense no more. He don't. And you know he don't. He don't want to admit.
I don't know that. I don't know that.
Anyways.
I totally agree with you, Coach Troy. A lot of these, especially stars. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like defenders have to be role players now. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't know what it is or why it's not a common trend, but a lot of these stars nowadays don't do it. And, you know, it affects them either trying to make it to the playoffs or trying to go farther in the playoffs because, you know, playoffs are all about matchups. It's all about, you know, getting a bucket. And if you can find somebody to attack, best believe that these dudes are going to attack it. Like I said, the Mavs found out that DeAndre Ayton, they could attack him coming off the screens. And if the entire defense wasn't going to adjust, they were just going to attack him all game. And that's what they did. You know, guys like Trae Young, Damian Lillard, I always say that there's a ceiling to how far they're going to go because they are the number one matchup on the offensive side of every team's scouting report.
Why would they not be?
Exactly.
And I was going to say, that's one of the things about Luka. Like the two Luka moments that are like ingrained in my head. Game six during last year's playoffs when the Mavs had a chance to close out Kawhi, Paul George, and the Clippers. In that game six, and Kawhi Leonard, that entire fourth quarter was like, give me Luka. Come here. Come here. And he just sat there and lit him up like six or seven straight possessions up and down the floor. And then this postseason, when Chris Paul in that game two just wore Luka out to the point where they tried to hide Luka Doncic on Bismack Biyombo.
Yep.
Like, you should not have to hide your best player. in order to try to be successful defensively. But that also makes me think about something in terms of the Golden State Warriors. They're, in all likelihood, barring some wild calamity, they're going to make it back to the NBA Finals. This will be finals number 6 in 8 years. I don't think we've had a team since Jordan's Bulls that have been able to...
Wait, say that, Alex, since who?
Since. I'm not equating them to Jordan's Bulls. Not at all.
No. Just, I want to hear that again. Let me hear that one more time.
I was going to say, we haven't had a team since Jordan's Bulls that have made 6 finals in 8 years.
Oh, okay. I just want to hear that.
It's all good. But I was also going to say, the difference between those Bulls and even a team like San Antonio, who made to 6 NBA Finals appearances and had like a really long run, is that this Warriors team fell off for 2 years. Those Bulls teams, those 2 years, they didn't go to the finals and win a championship. They still made it to the playoffs, right? After that last finals in 2019, that next year, the Warriors were one of the worst teams in the league. Mind you, Durant was gone, Klay was hurt, Steph Curry was hurt for the majority of the year. And then last year, they were in the play-in and lost to the Lakers. So to go from a team who made 5 straight finals appearances and then you don't make the playoffs, and then they look like they're about to be back on the precipice of competing for another championship. I don't think this is something we've ever seen in NBA history.
You can thank Jordan Poole for that, my brother. You already know that. Give Jordan Poole some love. Oh, by the way, Milwaukee again.
Well, I think it's a lot of things that happen. If we redid this 10 times, it might only happen once or twice. You know, like Steph Curry getting drafted in the lottery and getting hurt like two or three of those first years. And so then they're able to re-sign him on a smaller deal than a max, which then allows them to be able to afford a guy like Kevin Durant. And then I would say it's impressive in this notion, in this league, you don't know who's going to be on a team together next year. Like Chris Paul says that, oh, well, you know, we'll be back. You know, we'll be back. How do you know that?
Right.
Because who knows if, you know, Donovan Mitchell goes and joins Miami or goes and joins another Western Conference contender. Because this league switches so day and night, I don't think you're going to see many dynasties anymore, teams three-peating and stuff like that. Because too many players move around for that. To Coach Troy's point, you can thank Jordan Poole because he's the youthful energy that kind of sparked this resurgence from Golden State.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, those three guys, they weren't going to leave Steph, Klay, and Draymond, but you got a youthful presence now that's like, okay, well, we can bridge this gap. And it's kind of a little bit before. I don't want to, you know, compare him to Kawhi because Kawhi came a little bit later with the Spurs, but it's kind of what the Spurs were trying to do with Kawhi, with Tim and Manu, but also usher in this new generation.
You're right.
Credit to them for picking them. And then, you know, with them having that losing season, then they're able to get a top 3 pick in Kuminga. And now you got he's not young, but he's, you know, getting in his prime, Andrew Wiggins, who people said it was a steal. You know, it was foolish trading D'Angelo Russell for that pick and Andrew Wiggins. They said, what is Andrew Wiggins going to do? And look at him, you know, becoming one of the league's best wing defenders in this playoff. So a lot of things just, you know, happen in their favor. And I don't like to do it, but with the Warriors, it's very interesting. Every postseason run, somebody gets hurt. Somebody gets hurt that they're playing against. Ja Morant.
That's true.
Kawhi Leonard.
That's true.
Chris Paul.
Man, that's because that son of a bitch, Zaza Pachulia, stepped on Kawhi's ankle. Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Zaza and whoever he calls his mammy.
It always happens every year they make a deep run. Kyrie Irving. I can go on and on.
Yeah, Kevin Love. Remember Kevin Love, too.
Kevin Love as well. So, I mean, like I said, it's a lot of stuff that maybe if this thing was simulated in some way 10 times, it wouldn't happen more than twice. But, you know, credit to him.
I mean, you got to give him credit, man. But, you know, the bottom line is what you just said. I mean, it something does happen. And it's the nature of the beast. I mean, I'm not going to make an excuse for no other team. Bottom line is the Warriors, the one thing they do play smart basketball. I give them much credit for that. They play a lot of smarter than these other teams. Just think about this for a minute. How many times you see Warrior players running out at wide open three point shooters trying to block their shot? And you don't see it often. But guess what? You might see Andrew Wiggins do it and Iguodala do it. They're about the only two. Because they're the only two going to actually block a shot. But these other dudes like Chris Paul, and I'm just using him as an example right now, but Chris Paul and Ja Morant, why y'all run out of 3-point shooters? All they do is Clay them and step them, do a step aside, let your silly ass fly by, and then they pop you. I mean, come on, man. I mean, just like I said, just dumb basketball, man. Just close out property. Because if you look at the statistics, the percentages of guys making that first shot on that first offensive set, the percentages are very low. I think they're in the 30s. They're very low. The percentages go up when they get offensive rebound, and then another offensive rebounds. That's when percentages go up. So that's just not good basketball, man. That's why I say it. Man, please. Bulls, man, playing against them? Come on, man. It's another argument.
Wait a minute.
I was like, Coach Troy, we didn't even compare them to the Bulls. Coach Troy, all I said was, this is the only other team since the Bulls to make six finals in 8 years.
He's trying to start something, Alex. He heard you. He knew what he's doing. He's trying to start something on May 24th.
And you know this, man.
I'm not having it out of UTC.
Man, look, Coach Troy, we don't want to have, you know what we almost ought to do? We ought to bring some folks from Coach Troy's era on the show. We can have like a generational argument about some of this. This might end up feeling like a family reunion with your uncles.
You set the time and date. I got two boys I'm bringing on. I already know who I'm bringing. Let's bring Noah.
Never lost. You sound like LeVar Ball.
I said that was a good one, young soldier. That was a good one. I give you that one.
We're going to leave it right there, but we will be right back with more of the Game Plan Podcast, Coach's Corner. Don't go too far.
Baby, tell me what you mad for. I give you everything. I'm always on the road working, but you my everything. It's been some years now and you don't understand me yet. I'm about to bet some corners. I guess it's time to go on separate.
Speaking of Chris Paul, how did you feel about Patrick Beverley's comments about him? Man. After they lost that series, he called Chris Paul a cone. Said that's everybody's game plan is to go around Chris Paul.
I know. I'm like, my thing is, okay, if he really felt that way, that's fine. Why you gotta air that out like that, bro? Seriously. I don't understand that, Pat Bev. And I like Pat Bev. Kenny, I like Pat Bev. I always say he's one of the better defenders in the league.
Yep.
Even though when other guys be dissing him, I'm like, nah, dude can actually play some defense. But man, why are you disrespecting that man? What the hell did he do to you? He must have slept with his woman or something. Do to him, man. What did he do to him?
Man, I have no clue. But he said he's not an all-time great point guard. He said he just got longevity stats.
That just sounds like some hate right there. I mean, Chris Paul, not an all-time PG. Come on, man. Stop it, man. Stop it, man. That sounds like Isaiah Thomas talking about Michael Jordan.
I mean, it really is. It's a bad look on Pat Bev. Like, you know, of course they bring you on to give your player perspective and what's going on in the locker rooms. But I mean, it's just some stuff you doing too much, you know?
Absolutely.
What I mean? Like, and it's like, okay, well, when did your word just become bond? Like, your word is just, you right. Running around here saying it's like you just know everything about the game. And I'm like, nah, man, nah.
And yeah. I know that, you know, one thing I know, Kennedy, all them brothers will always call another brother a coon. Because Chris Paul, last time I checked, he got black kids, black wife, right?
Yep.
I bet you Pat Beverley got some white women out there strolling around somewhere.
You know, I'm about to look this up right now.
Oh, my gosh. You know every brother called Brother Coon, they be the coon. You already know that. I'm not saying people have a coon. I don't know. I'm just talking crazy. But it just really hurts me, man, to see another black man just put down another black man like that. He is at this man. Been on like 4 or 5 different talk shows.
Yes. Now, it was funny when he was like, he tweeted during game 7, he was like, watch after the game. Somebody gonna say that they injured. Just wait for it. And just like clockwork, Chris Paul, they said he had a thigh bruise or a thigh strain or something like that.
Thanks. Some remind me of LeBron James coming to the post with that cast on his hand.
He broke his hand. He broke his hand. The doctor confirmed that one. Chris Paul didn't want to comment.
I just did a quick Google search of Patrick Beverley's girlfriend. Coach Troy, your suspicions are correct.
See, hey, you see what I'm saying, bro? This is what I'm talking about. That's why your words don't really hold much water. Think about that for a minute. You called this, I say, a coon. I was like, hold on. Chris Paul, a lot of things. You can say, you can talk about his game. You can say you don't like his game. You don't think he's a top point guard of all time. Whatever you want to say. But to call a man a cool man, ain't that going a little too far, bro?
Did he call him that, really?
That's what I hear. I don't know. Oh, but somebody told me he called him a coon. I'm like, a coon? Like, they gonna call Chris Paul a coon?
Oh, that's messed up
if he did. Well, if he didn't say it, well, we know he got a white woman now. So, hey, I just gave some information on that.
I can get rid of the poor, but then white women. I don't know how you're doing that. Doing that.
Man, that's the only reason I didn't become a Muslim, Kennedy. Hey man, I can stop eating pork. Oh, I can stop eating that pork, but the white women, I don't know how you do it, man.
Oh God. Shout out to Malcolm X, shout out to Denzel Washington.
No doubt, man. No doubt.
Shout out to Jamie Foxx, who's actually living in that quote.
He surely is. I don't know how you do it, man.
Did you see that picture today that surfaced?
I did. That I did.
Did you see a TC?
Man, I don't have to, but you already just told me. Woo!
Yep. All right.
Unbelievable.
Anything on the Eastern Conference? Heat Celtics, you guys want to...
Hey, man, why you bring that up, man? You know I don't want to even talk about no damn... I'm pissed off by my Bucks already.
Talk
see,
about,
Alex, you start... Talk about, like Kennedy now.
Talk about it, Coach Troy. Talk about it. Talk to us. Treat this like therapy, Coach Troy. This is a safe space for black men's mental health. Talk to us, Coach Troy.
Okay. Since you put it in those terms, that do sound like I need a couch right now. Man, you know, and it's nothing against the Boston Celtics or the Miami Heat. I mean, honestly, I like Jason Tatum. I like Jaylen Brown. He's, I think, both bad boys. Jimmy Buckets, you know, I think he can be a fake tough guy sometimes, but I still like his game. Of course, Tyler Hero, he's from Milwaukee too. Oh yeah, y'all didn't know that either. Oh. Yeah, get the hell out. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm just sorry. They just keep coming out, man. I ain't really talking slick, Kennedy. I've been eating some chicken and words slipping out my mouth. You know. Oh, I'm sorry, man. I get on this roll. I'm sorry, man. Oh, Lord. But yeah, man, I really think Miami gonna win that series. I think it'll go seven. I think Miami will win it. The only reason I'm saying that because they got the home court advantage and they'll be at home for their last game. And I think that's always they'll be there because I really like the way they treated my Bucks, man. Giannis, I think he always get refereed unfairly to me anyway. I mean, now every time he touched somebody, it's a charge. Everybody looking for a charge now. So I don't like the way they treat my boys sometimes. And then Giannis ain't a complainer. Which I do, that's what I really like about him. I wouldn't care if he's on the Bucks or the Lakers or wherever team he was on. I love dudes who just ball and don't complain, do all that whining and shit. I love them balls. Go ahead, Kennedy. I'm done with that, man.
I think the Celtics are going to win it. I don't know if I think that they'll win three straight, but I do think that they'll either steal game five or game seven on the road. And, you know, this series has been crazy just because of every game somebody's out or somebody from both teams out. Kyle Lowry's missing games.
That's true.
Tyler Hero's out. Marcus Smart's out. Robert Williams is out. And so, like, I want to pick Boston to win because I feel like Boston is a better team when everybody plays. But there is no timetable for Marcus Smart returning. You know what I mean? And then, you know, Robert Williams might be out next game.
So no, they said he's playing this game. That's what they said.
Okay. Yeah. Then he's playing next game. And he's made, you know, his presence has helped make, you know, Boston. I think that's what kind of gives them the edge over is that Robert Williams' presence with, you know, the Heat playing that stifling perimeter defense. He gives them that lob threat that kind of opens up their offensive flow. And so I think that Boston should beat them. And, you know, like, you know, you were saying, TC, I think, I don't want to say they're trying to, but I think Jason Tatum is kind of paving his way to superstardom.
No doubt.
And so for his finals run to have gone through KD, Giannis, and, well, Jimmy Butler's not on that level, but KD, Giannis, and the Heat to play against Steph Curry and the Warriors, I think, would be more intriguing than the Warriors playing against Miami.
You know what, Kennedy? I agree with you on that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I hope you're right that Boston do win. I hope I'm wrong that Miami win that in seven. Hope you're right because I believe Boston will have a better matchup against Golden State than Miami would.
So absolutely. Absolutely. I just think, you know, with Miami, we know what we're going to get. You know, they're going to win a game or two and Jimmy's going to have a good game here or there, but they just don't have enough. And I think that they need another guy. If they can't get an A-plus guy, because I think we've all come to the agreements that Jimmy Butler's not a superstar.
No doubt.
But he's a guy that could win a title as your second best player. But I think if they can get even another A-minus guy or just an A guy, they could put him over the top. And when I think about guys, think about like a Bradley Beal, a Donovan Mitchell, you know, guys that can create a shot in the half court so that the Heat don't have to rely so much on Jimmy Butler.
I agree with that. And then, hold on. What's up with paying Duncan Robinson $90 million and don't even play the man?
I was just about to tell you, TC, I was just about to tell you, I got to give you props. You called it out first.
Thank you, sir.
They paying Duncan Robinson $90 million to be a cheerleader.
Boy, that's the best job. That's the best job in America. He got right there. Him and Udonis Haslam. Udonis Haslam is like that tenured professor at a university. He don't even teach a class anymore. They still got him on the website. They still got an office. He don't even show up. He don't even teach. They got two dudes like that.
But that's why I was saying that last offseason, I didn't know if he was ever going to be healthy or not, but I felt like Victor Oladipo was going to be a big addition to him. And it, you know, now he's in their playoff rotation because you paying Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, these guys can't play. Well, I mean, they can, but they both can't be on the floor together in playoff games. Too many mismatches.
If you want to play right. zone, they can be.
Right. But when giving you Victor Oladipo, now you can have a lineup to where you're pretty confident in everybody's defensive abilities. Kyle Lowry, Oladipo, Jimmy, Bam, and PJ Tucker. That's a lot of I'm solid with on the defensive side of the ball. And so that's why I was like, $90 million, that's nuts, bro.
Man, that's nuts, man. I had this man sitting on – man, the man literally sits on the bench, and he makes $90 million. I mean, that's unbelievable, man. I mean, I don't know what's going on. It's good, man. I tell you, man, that damn white privilege is a mother. It's a mother. Oh, it's a mother.
Man, look, I have a question for y'all. Does that dude who plays for the Heat, Vincent, does he not look like Shamar Moore in Madea's family reunion or what?
Yes, he does.
He do look like Shamar Moore, man. He really do.
I don't want to just love half of you, Helen. Like,
he does look just like him.
Like, the first time I saw him, I'm like, this is almost like, remember, Ken, I said a few days back, when Otto Porter looks just like Will Chamberlain. Otto Porter, grandmama, Miss Ernestine got some explaining to do. Shamar Moore, I feel the same way about. He might have some explaining to do to somebody, because that's his son.
Yeah, he do look like that, brother. I ain't gonna be, you right about that one. He looked like that, brother.
Man, you guys got anything else before we wrap this bad boy up?
One thing, man. Don't nobody sag like Eddie Caddy. Nice like this, I wish. Have a little fun in life, man. Gotta have a little fun in life, fellas. Can't be serious all the time.
Kennedy?
Hey, man. I think we've had a great show.
Yes, sir.
All right. We are out of time here on the Game Plan Podcast, Coach's Corner. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. Follow the show on Twitter at underscore the Game Plan Podcast. Again, follow the show on Instagram at underscore the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can the folks find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, that's underscore Kennedy, as in the NFL Hall of Famer Cortez Kennedy Miller, as in the 3-point marksman Mike Miller underscore Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right, Coach Troy. Matter of fact, let's see. Hey. Let's see if he got it, Kennedy. Coach Troy, where can the folks find you on Twitter?
Hey, I'm gonna say this though. I want to say this before we close out. Man, I really enjoy talking basketball, talking sports with you fellas, period. I think it's a great show, man. Y'all keep doing y'all thing, man. I love coming on the show. Kenny Miller, can you take care of that puppy?
Underscore Coach TC underscore. Again, that's underscore Coach TC, as like he likes to say, too cool. Underscore Coach TC underscore.
Look under there and you will see the unknown goat. That would be me, the unknown goat.
Man, Ken, when Coach Troy asks you to throw out his Twitter name, this is like when your parents call you to help, you know, they can't turn on the TV or they trying to get the HBO. I can't find the channel. They said it was channel 45, but hell, I'm looking at 45. That's CNN or something. I ain't trying to watch CNN. I'm trying to watch Cat Williams, baby.
Oh, shit. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Oh, man. wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller and for Coach Troy Coleman, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast, Coach's Corner. We'll see you guys next time.
Peace.